You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. Look, I totally get it. Lots of political news this week. I have been watching myself. But as has been heard once or twice on this program, the economy waits for no one. So here we are, ready and eager to meet the need. Kate Davidson's at the Wall Street Journal. Gina Smilek is at the New York Times. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai. Hey, Kai.
So we are going to keep it really high level and big picture, Kate, and we're going to start with you, and we're going to do it through the person of one Jerome Powell, the chair of the Fed, who gave a big speech and a Q&A at the Economic Club of New York today, in which he once again basically begged Congress to do some relief. He called it an essential tool. But he also said it is not just fiscal or monetary policy. It is a society-wide commitment that has to be undertaken to fix this economy. Do you think the Fed chair's pleas are falling on deaf ears once again?
I think that's a good question. I don't think they are. I think actually we're seeing an interesting, sort of a really interesting dynamic here where you have the current Fed chair and the former Fed chair, who's now the Treasury Secretary, and they're quite a formidable team, it would seem. They're really pairing up and together making this argument, which I think perhaps gives it even more heft that it's really important right now for the economy to and the American households and businesses really is what we're talking about, to get more support. And so I think that if it's just, if it's just the White House, or it's just maybe other economic advisors of the president saying this, maybe there are people who think, well, of course they're going to say that they want to advance this big, huge package. But I think it really means something when it is the Fed chairman who's backing up those calls. But we will see, right? I mean, we know that there's still not a huge appetite among Republicans for a big package. Some Republicans are willing to do something smaller. So I think we're still seeing how this is going to play out. And obviously, Democrats are not so confident that they, they're reserving this option of reconciliation, this, arcane budget process to try to do this if they need to with just a simple majority.
Gina, what do you make of the argument about so that some are making that it's just too much money? $1.9 trillion is more than the economy needs right now. We're going to have inflation and bad things will happen if we actually plow this much money into the economy. What do you make of that?
I think there are some really interesting questions there that I think are sort of incumbent upon anyone who says we're about to have this massive inflationary spike to answer. And I think the chief one is just, where is it coming from? I think there are really obvious places where you can point to that we're going to have short-term price spikes. Like, that is going to happen this year. Inflation is temporarily going to go higher unless something really surprising happens. That said, a temporary price spike and the kind of inflationary process that monetary policymakers like Mr. Powell worry about are not the same thing. Like a one-time increase or a couple of months of increase in airfares is not the same as an inflationary process where you have wages and prices spiraling upward month after month after month. And I think that latter kind of process, we just haven't seen it in decades. And I don't know. I think that the thing Powell has said, and I think a lot of economists are saying, is you kind of have to make some sort of case for where that's going to come from before you can really get too far with predicting inflation.
Well, so let me throw this out there, Kate, as one possible thing that might happen. And that is, once we can all travel and spend and join and drink and eat and all of those things again, we're going to unleash a huge amount of consumption in this economy. There's going to be pent up demand, and we don't really know what's going to happen when that happens.
Sure. I mean, that's one argument. I saw someone on Twitter saying people aren't going to take, multiple vacations because of the ones they missed. I don't know. I'm certainly going to try.
I think everybody in this conversation is, for sure.
But I do think the past year has taught us that, maybe assumptions that we had about consumer behavior were maybe a bit off. So who knows, right? Like, we'll have to see how this plays out. It might play out over a long time horizon. I think we're assuming once we all get vaccinated, it's like a big party, but maybe not. We kind of still have to see. But I think that the counter argument that some policymakers are making, and in particular, the White House economic advisors, are that, the Fed has the tools tools to deal with inflation. If we do, in fact, see the kind of inflation that Gina's talking about, that the Fed would worry mm-hmm. about, they can raise interest rates, but they can't lower them anymore. And that's why there's this argument that fiscal policy really needs to step in and do a lot more. And there's absolutely questions around, well, how much more, and what's, you know, what is the best kind of stimulus? What's the most helpful to support people and support the economy? But I think that at least the people that the president listens to, I don't think they are convinced or worried that inflation, we're going to have a big inflation problem.
Gina, are you going to take an extra vacation or two?
I'd like to. I hope so.
Wouldn't we all? We'll check with the people in the New York Times. All right. So I said we were going to keep it high level. I'm going to get down in the nitty gritty just a little bit and ask you about the relief package. $1.9 trillion as it stands now, probably going to pass through budget reconciliation, but maybe not all of it. I wonder, Gina, what you make of the relative importance of relief checks at $1,400 to fulfill the Democratic campaign promise versus bumping up unemployment benefits and or conceivably keeping the minimum wage in this bill somehow?
You know, I think they're all policies that do really different things. And I think it really depends on who you're talking to when to sort of assess how important they are. You know, $1,400, that is politically an extremely important part of this package. You know, as you mentioned, it was a campaign promise. So I think you get a lot of folks sort of weighing in on that front. The minimum wage, I think there are a lot of folks who say this is a great poverty alleviation tool. It like has the effect of not just lifting people who are actually making the minimum wage, but also lifting incomes for people who are close to the minimum wage. So that could be potentially positive. It could potentially come with some drawbacks in the terms of, you know, lost jobs for folks with lower wages. Mm-hmm. And then I think you get, when it comes to sort of this unemployment insurance, I think you get pretty broad-based agreement that that's an important part of this policy package, because there are still 10 million people who used to have jobs pre-pandemic who do those jobs no longer exist. And so there is this element of how do we get those folks to the other side of this crisis?
Yeah. So, Kate, on that other side and the timing of this thing, just on the way out here, it's worth a note that the current relief package, the benefits in there expire in the middle of March. Do we think Congress gets this done by then?
I don't know. Nancy Pelosi certainly seems to think they will. I think she said this week, you know, they're aiming for by the end of February. So I don't know. It seems pretty tight. But hey, if they do decide to just go forward with reconciliation, I think they can do it. But it is important to remember they need like really a couple weeks buffer. You know, middle of March, benefits expire. That's kind of too late, as we saw at the end of December. Yeah. It's really hard for states. You know, they have to essentially stop and then restart if there's a lapse. That can take a long time. People can miss some of those checks in the meantime. So I think they really want to avoid that this time, they being the Democrats.
Yeah, there's a whole logistics piece of this. Kate Davidson at the Wall Street Journal, Gina Smilek at the New York Times. Thanks, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.